So it's all in my head. So we're going to sort of do it out of my head instead of off of paper. I don't know how I forgot that thing. But anyway, I think this is the first Sunday I've done that in 20 years. But anyway, I don't have a sermon. Aren't y'all happy? But I am going to talk to you about what happened to me, what God was doing this week. And I really believe he was doing it because part of the reason, majority, was I'm your pastor. So what happens to me does affect you. So I want you to know this morning that as I come, I want you to know I have purchased a bunch of stuff for you. As a matter of fact, after the service is over, I'm going to have to ask our teenager, our kids and young adults here to go out to my car and bring in all the boxes, okay? Everybody in this congregation is going to receive it looks like this. It's a box. It opens. It's got magnetic. It opens. And we have different ones. By the way, this is for the college age or the young adult age. So this is yours. And then we have a youth age. This is for the youth. And I think we've got a couple of youth in our that we can give one of these to. The rest are adult packets. And I'm going to be giving those out possibly next Sunday. Also, we have, and I'm going to be teaching a great deal about how do you use it. So many times pastors stand in the pulpit and they preach, and you go, okay, so what I do with that? What do you want me to do with that, God? Is that speaking to me or whatever? I'm going to give you specifics. I believe God has given us specifics. We begin with prayer. And I have for everybody, I've got enough for everybody, a world map, prayer map. And it goes to every country. One of the men stood up and he said, the man who came up with this prays every day of the week for everybody in the world, in the universe. You're sitting there going, he spends quite a bit of time in prayer, praying for each country that's designated and everybody in that country. Well, if you do that, you are praying for the universe, okay? And then he prays specifically for every state and in the United States and the people in there. We've got these so that you can do that. Now, I don't think there's anybody going to just begin praying for the universe tomorrow, okay? But I believe what's going to happen is hopefully you'll take two or three states a day, and you'll pray for those states, or one or two nations, and by the end of the year, you will have covered the universe. You can say, I have prayed for the universe, for Jesus to be transforming. That's meaningful. I sat there going, one thing would be cool when I get to heaven. I prayed for the universe, Lord. Do you know, you remember me praying for the universe? We can do this. It has to be organized. Has to be, because if it's not organized, you'll fall by the wayside. So I want you to understand that I do have some great materials that they provided, and we're hopefully going to use. I am really excited about what this can mean in your own personal lives. I was looking at this, and I first of all, let me bring up that chart. This message is the faith of a disciple. And I want you to notice this. That thing at the top. Back up. Right there. Active Christians. And let me see. What does it say? It says, of the active Christians in evangelical churches, this is the percentage after a study of 10 years. And more so the past 2 years of people active in evangelical churches. Now, this doesn't include Catholic. It doesn't include other, people, other churches. Active in evangelical. Is this an evangelical church? Make sure y'all know. An evangelical church means you believe in missions. You know, there are churches don't believe in that, you know. And there are churches that don't teach that, and they're, you know, just come and enjoy yourself. But I believe we are Baptists basically across the board are evangelical. We support missions, and we talk about missions. Okay. So this is only talking about those. And active members, What was amazing was active Christians in evangelical churches on a study sharing your faith for change said 20% of elders, which means you're, if you're not in the baby boomer generation, if you're older than the baby boomers, you're elders. The elders, 20% in churches said it was wrong. What you guys doing? They were all hiding under their shirts. Y'all can come out. It's okay. 20% said that it was wrong to be reaching people for Jesus, witnessing for Jesus. It was wrong to do that because to try to change people. That's just wrong. All right. 19% of baby boomers say the same thing. 27% of Generation Xers says it's wrong to witness. And 47% of millennials said it's wrong to witness. We should not be going out talking to people about Jesus. That's wrong, because you might change them. Well, yeah, that's right. Hopefully you do. Well, here's the point. The total of all groups is 27%. 27% of everybody in the church, in evangelical churches, believes it's wrong. But that is exciting, because the other side of that is how many people, what percentage of the people in evangelical churches think it needs to be done, we need to reach people for Jesus? 83%? No. 77%? Something like that. Yes. 77% of all people in the churches, and some believe it's higher than that, closer to 80, believe that we should be reaching people. That's exciting. We've got an exciting thing going on in our church. I believe it's higher than that in our church. Okay? But of the 77%, I want you to notice this. 16% had no contact with anybody and said nothing about God or faith or Jesus or anything religious in 16% of the total church, in an evangelical church. 12% had two or three. 6% had five or six in the year. 2% had 9 to 12. 2% had 12 to 15. 2% had 15 to 18. By the way, there was about 4% that had over 300. But I don't think many of us fit into that category. So I was looking at this and just trying to understand and to decide, what is it that causes people to have such a strong belief that we should be reaching people for Jesus, and yet only a very small percentage actually do it? And as I looked at the books I've got and the materials I've been studying, and they gave us all kinds of materials and books and studies, there are two things that give us the capabilities to follow Jesus as a disciple. One is the Lordship of Christ and the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And second is a growing, intense faith. Now, when we read our scriptures, it said to Timothy, it said, hear me, you should follow this with strong faith, because many have been shipwrecked in their faith. I want to give you an illustration of how that works. This is not really pottery or ceramic, but whenever you see a vessel that's made out of pottery, how many of you have ever seen anybody make pottery? On a wheel, it spins around and they put their hands in. It's most of you. Do you know that you can, if you don't know what you're doing, you can have weak parts in it? And if there are weak places in the pottery, it actually can break and open up. And if you have a cup, it's made out of pottery, and you get a hole in it, guess what it does? It leaks. Okay, this is my message. Don't be a leaky disciple. I made it real simple, okay? If you're growing in your faith, if you're gaining faith, you are gaining strength. But I'm going to say this. where Christians struggle is they don't maintain their faith because they have places in their life where they leak. I leak at times. Where do we leak? When you were being formed as a disciple, made into a disciple, God began to construct you. There are 10 areas I've got, and I want to go through with you very quickly in a few minutes. 10 areas where we need to have foundational strength so that we don't become leaky Christians. Okay? If there was ever any one of these where you were not taught well, or you don't know it well, it's going to become a weakness to the form and the format of your life. And when you have faith, it can leak out very quickly. They had shipwrecks of faith. How many students do you think that leave evangelical churches, and I'm saying this to Preston this morning, leave evangelical churches and go out to colleges and shipwreck with their faith in colleges? Do you know what the percentage is? 62%. That's a high percentage. By shipwrecking their faith, they stop having faith. Now, they probably got it. They've shipwrecked. Okay. If we're going to disciple properly, we need to disciple in all 10 areas. If you have grandchildren, you need to be discipling them in these 10 areas. If you have children, you need to be discipling in these 10 areas. If you have, I found out this past weekend, this past couple of days, that I'm a favorite uncle. I didn't even know I was. Somebody said something, and the boy I went to see his graduation, he said, "Well, you're my favorite uncle." I'm going, "Whoa, that put me up there where I should. I don't know if I'm ready for that. I got to do better, okay?" Because if somebody says you're my favorite uncle, my favorite aunt, whatever, you've got a responsibility there. What are you casting on that child? I am casting an image, but I, more than an image, I am trying to disciple them. This is what we should be doing, not only in the church, but individually. So I want us to look at, Paul said it this way, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I was, but now I'm no longer a child. I put away childish things." And what he was talking about is Christians need to shore up the areas where they're weak so that they don't have shipwrecked faith. Okay? And Christians need to grow in areas. And they need to teach other. And they, if they see an area in someone's life that's weak, they need to shore it up. And we can do that. Jesus used the illustration of a foundation when he said, those who build their houses on a rock, when the winds come and the ship hits the land, it's not going to sink. But those who built their house on the sand, when the waves and the rains come, it's going to fall apart. You're going to have a shipwreck faith. Okay? So here are the areas. I'm going to just go through these very quickly with you. The first area is soteriology, which is salvation. They need to know the difference in man's concept of salvation and God's salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. If a child comes to Jesus, if a young adult comes to Jesus, and they don't understand what they really have done, they need to be taught. And I think sometimes we have kids that come and accept Christ, and we just leave them. We need to take them then and say, "Do you know what you just did? Do you understand what the implications of that is? Do you understand the difference in what some people say, which is you got to have works, and other people who say faith?" By the way, one of the reasons there is they've studied Catholics and Protestants, and Catholics in America have basically stayed pretty much the same. Protestants have lost a lot of people to its churches. Do you know why I believe in one of the things they did a study? Listen, in the Protestant church, we say what you need is faith. Nowhere does it say you have to have the church for salvation. The Catholic church says you have to go to church to have salvation. That's how they keep people in the church. Now, part of our problem is we don't share with our people how important the church is and how you really can't be a close Christian with God outside of the church. You just can't. It's got to be there somewhere. All right? So soteriology. The second is theology. God is the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation 22:13. How many of you could say, don't raise your hands, but how many of you could say you have studied the Alpha and the Omega, you understand God and the Alpha Omega concept? You say, well, I'm not sure. Alpha means beginning, Omega means end. God was the beginning. If you teach the Alpha of God, he was from the beginning, he was before the beginning, he established everything, everything came out of him. And he will be the one to consummate everything in the end. Do you understand that? They need to know that. That's a weakness. Satan will attack that weakness if you don't know a lot about it. Creation is next, which actually comes out of the theology there, that God created and you are no accident. By the way, if people are believe totally, they've been told in their schools and they believe it without, there is fact. Evolution is fact. You got to get with the fact. No, it's not. There are plenty of scientists say it's the most foolish theory that's ever been. And I've got books of great scientists who've studied it. But if a kid believes that it has to be, they're torn. On the one hand, I go to church and it says God created. On the other hand, God had nothing to do with it. I'm just an accident. God made you for a purpose. No, you're just an accident. This is a struggle, and it's an area where we must solidify with our kids. The fourth one is biblical study. It's accuracy. It meets all needs. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to boast. Five, we need to be teaching. By the way, Bible's being attacked today. We need to teach the vicarious, strong nature of the Bible and how it impacts us every day. Redemption, Jesus' substitution. You know, there are a lot of people that never become Christians and never really understand the concept of Jesus dying for us, his blood shed for us, and the vicarious nature of Jesus. Hey, listen, unless kids understand that, young adults, they are walking into a mess. And they really do have a big hole in their bucket, and they're going to leak faith. Next is Trinity. Pneumatology, Christology. Pneumatology is the study of the Holy Spirit. Christology is the study of Jesus himself. The Trinity. How many Christians truly understand the Trinity? If you don't understand the Trinity, Satan can come in and rob you of a lot of faith. Okay? It's got to be there. Sanctification is number seven. That means the continual struggle we have with sin. And people think when they become Christians and then they sin, they go, oh God, I can't. How am I going to? And then they begin to fall away from their faith. Why? They have a big hole in their bucket. And the big hole is, I sin. Yeah? Duh. You're still human. The Holy Spirit will draw you back and you can repent. Okay? But they need to understand that warfare going on in their life in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10 through 13. The eight is ecclesiology. The church, its purpose, and its necessity. I bear this testimony. The number one area of theology and Christology that we are not teaching our kids is the dynamic importance of the church. It's not just, well, you can go to church if you feel like you need it. No, you got to have it. And disciples go to church for one reason, that they might grow in their faith in Christ. And it is built to a great extent in the church. Nine, eschatology, which is the end times, the end things. Do they know where they're going? Have they studied? Is there a hole in their bucket because they don't think there's any afterlife? Or they got friends that are teaching them that there is, you know, we're just evolving, we're animals. Or is there a friend that's teaching them predestinationism, friends that are teaching them that in the end times we come back as a cow, a duck, a monkey, or whatever. That has to be strong. They need to know what the Lamb's Book of Life is, what heaven, the eternal kingdom of God is. 10, discipleship. Lifelong growth, witnessing, and making new disciples. How many churches are, as a whole, outreaching, witnessing churches? And that is churches, and hear me, I want you to understand this. Churches that began on the principle that we are disciples. Churches that did not begin on that principle, it's very hard to get them there, in essence. Churches that understand when you walk through the door and you join our church, you become a disciple and we will begin to disciple you. They just accept it because that's what this church says. We need to do that in all of our churches, okay? When you come and join us, you become a disciple, and we would love to disciple you. Well, this is why we have this. We have our discipleship on Sunday night. That's when we begin to teach and train. And I do some on Sunday mornings. Now, some people say to me, and I'm going to end by 12:30, I promise you. So you don't have to look up there, okay? I'm at the end except for some illustrations. People say, I don't know. It's too hard. There are like 23 reasons why Christians who believe in witnessing or believe the church ought to be witnessing, why they don't do it. Most of them are fear. Come out of fear factor, which I don't feel like I'm good enough. I've sinned. I can't. If I try to witness to people and they know I was a sinner, I just don't know enough about the Bible, or I might say the wrong thing. Oh no, 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 no. Witnessing is not that hard. Discipleship is not hard at all. And when we make it hard, Satan's working on our hearts, because it's not hard. I discipled this morning. I went to McDonald's and I discipled. I ordered a cup of coffee when I go to McDonald's, and I drove through the drive-thru. When I got through the drive-thru, the lady looked at me and she said, asked for a card. I gave her my card. She looked and she says, see that truck right there? I said, yes. She says, that's my dream truck. I looked at her and I said, sweetheart, the Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart if you serve and honor him. She went, looked at me and went, wow, I just discipled somebody. I don't know where she is in her walk. You call it a witness, whatever. It's a discipleship step. It's a seed planted. Now, a lot of people would have said, thank you, appreciate it. I like my truck too. Move on. Do you know why we do that? Because we're not focused. We're not sitting there going, as we're driving around, going, how can I witness? This past Thursday, I had to get my tires changed. And so I went to get the tires. It was on the trailer. I went to get the tires changed. And I was waiting on the guy to try it, and he was inside. And so I went across the street to the food something or another. It's a little house that's got grill. And I went there and I ordered and was sitting there waiting. This lady came out and she stood there a second. She said, it's a hot day, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is a hot day. I said, but there's a place where it's hotter. She said, you're right, aren't you? And I said, yeah, but God has blessed me. She said, God has blessed me too. And so we spent about 10 minutes off and on talking about the Lord as she was getting her stuff and I was getting my stuff. So then I crossed the street and went over there, and there was a guy putting my tires on. And as he was putting my tires on, he witnessed to me. He said this. He says, you know, in my church, my pastor says that you ought not only appeal to one person. You ought to be there for all people. And he said, it's hard sometimes. I said, yeah, it is. I said, where do you go to church? And he told me, and we talked a minute, and I said, well, I said, where do you come from? And he said, you're talking about when I was born? I said, yeah. He said, I was an orphan in the Ukraine. Oh, my goodness. God had a door. What are the odds that the person changing my tire comes from the same country I come from? What are the odds? God set that thing up. I read about many people that have had witnesses that way. God sets it up. You don't have to worry about it if God sets it up. Don't worry about it. It's not hard. It's easy. I can talk about Ukraine for the next 20 days. We had a good time. Where are you from? Ukraine? And I said, so the family that adopted you, when he started talking, then he started talking about, well, it's hard to live for Jesus. I said, yeah, it is. I said, I can guarantee you it's hard. He said, well, you're a Christian. I said, yeah. He said, how do you do it? I said, it is tough. But let me tell you something. God has a plan, and if you follow his plan, it gets easier. The problem is when we get outside of his plan and we're going against the stream and trying to live for Jesus and going, we got to do it God's way. And it's easy. It's easier. Anyway, we had a great conversation. So then I went to go wash the car, and a boy, and I looked at my wife. She was with me, and I said, look, see that guy right there? And she said, yeah, I taught him in high school. She said, oh, no. I said, yeah, he's the manager here at the car wash on Hillsborough. Go over there, tell him I sent you. But anyway, he was sitting there, and he saw me, and he said, how are you guys? And I said, and he went, oh, there's my teacher. So he came around to the door, and we were standing there talking, and he said to me, what can I pray for you for? Is there anything I can pray for you? Now, why did he say that to me? Because that's what I taught him. I taught him the way you reach people is by just looking at them and saying, is there anything I can pray for you for this day? That opens up a myriad of doors. And I've never had anybody look at me and say, I'm not a Christian. Don't ask me that question. What kind of evil person? I've never had any of that. Every time I've ever had anybody, they always looked at, thank you very much. I'm doing pretty good. Or, yeah, I'd like for you to pray for my aunt. Yeah, what's her name? Mary? Okay, I'll pray for her. Just remember, God can answer prayer. Witnessing is that easy. Discipleship is a little harder because we've got to get people to know people. All you're doing is getting to know people enough to see the cracks in their vessels. First of all, to see if they're a Christian. But then if you're a disciple of somebody, they got cracks. Places where faith seeps out. All of us do. All of, you know, I'm not. And it's trying to help them with those areas. I put those areas up here. I want you to know something. There's the scripture is with them up here. If you want to, I saw different people taking pictures of that. That's the way I remember things too. Do you know what my students did in class, the high school students? They never took notes. Right. I write on the board and they take a picture of it. That's the way the students do today. They don't take notes. They do take notes, but they take it with pictures, and then they go home and have it at home. You can do the same thing if you have your phone. You can just take pictures of it. I'm going to give you specifics like that with the scriptures that you can go to. But the biggest thing that I believe is we need to, as disciples, learn how to spot and recognize weaknesses in people's theology or in their pot holding in their soul of the spirit. And when we do, then we just slowly at times, given times, address it. Or just ask them questions, and you can do that. It is so simple. I've had people look at me and go, oh, it's so hard to witness. That's the easiest thing on the face of the earth. How can you make something so easy so hard? This man that I was leading conference, he said, how many people do you think you've led to the Lord this year? And I sat there going, like many of us. He said, I've led 300 to the Lord this year. 300. How can one person lead 300 and me only lead two? And some of us not lead any. It's because he has designated in his life to lead people to Jesus. This is what he does. And you say, well, he's called to do that. No, we're all called to do that. Everybody in my neighborhood is the ones I'm called. Everybody I work with are the ones I'm called to witness to reach for Jesus, and to disciple. And I'm very excited because, again, let me just say this, and I want to close with this. Please do not be intimidated with what I'm going to be sharing over the next few weeks. What we're going to be doing is talking about how do you reach people in the homes or in the neighborhood around you? How do you do that? There's a way, and it's easy. Can any of you give a gift? Go to your neighbor and give them some food. And when you do, save some for me on Sunday. But go and just hand them some biscuits or hand them, Brianna's good at that. Hand them some great stuff and just say, I just wanted to give you this. God has blessed me and I just want to bless you. That's all you need to say. It's as easy as pie. If the door opens, you go from there. They will probably contact you next time. And you just develop relationships. It's all about relationships. Isn't that good? Christian witness is nothing but relationships. Building and growing and just watching people grow. So it's going to be easy. It's going to be simple. I've got some helps everybody's going to get. I hope you'll take these home and just use them. We're not going to have classes. I think this is our class. But I want you to understand Sunday night is discipleship, and you can come on and talk about it. Or if you got problems, we'll be talking about that. Anybody else have a thought? Anybody? Anybody speak to anybody this week? Anybody speak to anybody this week? If you do in the coming Sundays, just share it. Because I want people to see how easy it is. It's not hard. It's just you focus on it a little bit. And it will turn your world around. Let's pray. Father, for this day, we do thank you. This is a good day. A day where we honor you. A day where we praise you. A day where we seek your insight, where we follow you. And just as the early disciples learned how to disciple, we want to learn how to disciple and continue to grow in our discipleship. Jesus, be the Lord of our lives, and as you opened the word to us in Timothy and said, stay away from being shipwrecked in faith. Lord, keep us all from shipwrecked faith and a faith that grows in you daily. In Jesus' name, amen.